I want to speak to you tonight on the subject entitled Encounter with Christ. An encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ is a unique occurrence and can be a life-changing event. It was for the man to whom it happened, of whom we have read in Luke chapter 19. An encounter with Christ, the Lord of glory, the Son of God and Savior of sinners, is something possible, something necessary, and it's thrilling. And if it has not already happened to you, it can happen here in this service, this very hour. In fact, it's something that the Lord Jesus Christ himself wants. He wants an encounter with you. It was he who initiated the encounter with this man of whom we read in Luke chapter 19. Now, as we look at this encounter with Christ, I want you to notice, first of all, the circumstances that led to it. It's always good to see the lead up to something special that happens. And these circumstances concern two people. First of all, the neediness of a great sinner. Notice how this verse or this chapter starts off. It starts off with the word, "Behold." And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho and behold. Now, whenever you see that word behold, the Holy Spirit is calling our attention to it, especially because something very, very important is about to follow. So we have a man here whose name is Zacchaeus. That's the first thing about him. He was a man little of stature. Jewish people were not generally tall of stature. So Zacchaeus must have been quite small because the comment here is that he was little of stature. His profession is brought before us. We learn in verse 2, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. Now let me make plain what a publican is not in Bible days. A publican is not one, as we know a publican today, mainly the proprietor of alcoholic premises, a bar, a public house. That was not a publican in Bible days. A publican in the days of Holy Scripture was one who lifted the taxes for the Romans. The Romans were the occupants of the state. They were world rulers, and Israel came under that dominion, and taxes had to be given and lifted. And Zacchaeus was one of those tax collectors, and the Bible says he was chief of publicans. So he had a very influential position, and one that helped him to become rich, as the last phrase in that verse tells us, that Zacchaeus was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And those tax collectors, those publicans, very often were associated with other people whom the Bible are specifically called sinners. And the people who were calling them sinners were sinners themselves, only they didn't think it. It was the religious establishment of the day who looked upon these other people who were social outcasts as sinners. But the Bible says we are all sinners, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Zacchaeus, being a publican, is found in association with sinners. And check it through in the gospel narratives. Publicans and sinners are often named together. Publicans and harlots were mentioned together. So you can see the company and association that's brought before us here. Now, probably why this man was rich was for this reason. Whenever areas were farmed out to these tax collectors, the government wanted a certain amount. They felt that was the legitimate amount. Might still have been too high, we don't know. But these boys who had the regions farmed out to them, they took more. As long as the people, the Roman state, got what was decreed for them, they were at liberty to add to that and pocket it for themselves. They were detested. In fact, not only were they detested for doing that, but but they were detested for working for the Roman oppressors. So in all probability, this was a way that he got rich. And then to say something else about this man and the circumstances, he was not liked. If you notice down at verse 7, when they saw it, that's the crowd, that's the religious leaders. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest. That is, the Lord Jesus was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner, known to be a sinner because of his low life and because of his occupation. Now, let me say this before we go any further. The encounter that this man will have, and we see this in a moment, we're just looking at the circumstances. The encounter that this man had with Christ, as we've seen, the Lord Jesus Christ will initiate it. You don't have to be religious and upstanding to have an encounter with Christ. The Lord is looking for those who are down and out, as well as those who are up and in. The Lord wants all kinds. He has encountered all kinds. He encountered the Apostle Paul before he was the Apostle Paul, when he was Saul, a deeply, highly educated, intellectual man who knew the Scriptures, but hated Christ and the Christian way. The Lord encountered him on the Damascus Road. So there's, first of all, the neediness of this great sinner here. And we've been asked, behold, a man named Zacchaeus. We've been asked by the Spirit of God to take careful note of this man. And then I want you to notice not only the neediness of a great sinner, but the readiness of a great Savior. This was another contributing factor. This was another circumstance with regard to this encounter. First of all, I want you to know that the Savior had come to Jericho. Jericho was a city slightly northeast to Jerusalem, near the River Jordan, just northwest to the upper part of the Dead Sea, about 15 miles from Jerusalem. It was a city under the curse, because we read in the days of one of the kings in the Old Testament where it was said, "Cursed is the man that riseth up and builds Jericho." And the man defied the curse to his cost and built Jericho. So Jericho was always known as the city of the curse. But the Lord Jesus Christ entered and passed through Jericho here, as we read in verse 1. And as he was going through Jericho and probably coming out of it, we learn that he sought out this man, Zacchaeus. If you notice verse 5, and we'll come back to it in a moment again, just to look at it a wee bit more closely, but look at it now. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." That was a surprise to Zacchaeus, but the point I'm making at this stage is, the Lord Jesus Christ, on one errand it would seem, came through Jericho to look for this man, to save him, to have this tremendous encounter. In fact, he said, "I must abide at thy house." My dear friend, that's the only time that we ever read of where Christ had invited himself into somebody's house. And he put it there as an imperative. "I must abide at thy house." So the Lord Jesus Christ was looking for this man to do him good. I want to say it tonight, that the Lord Jesus Christ will take the initiative with men and women, and he'll come looking for them to have that mighty encounter that's going to change their lives and transform them. I would ask you, is this happening in your circumstances? Can you say that I've had thoughts of Jesus Christ lately? I'm taking an interest in the gospel? Well, then believe it, friend. The Spirit of God is working in your life and preparing you for a meeting with the Savior. That's the first thing I want you to notice. The circumstances that led to this encounter with Christ. But I want you to notice in the second place, not only the circumstances that led to the encounter, but the conversion that occurred from it, from the encounter. This encounter had a tremendous outcome for this man, Zacchaeus. Now let's look at it from Zacchaeus' point of view. I want you to notice, first of all, the desire that Zacchaeus possessed. Verse 3, he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Curiosity here. But he had heard about him. Now, how he heard about him, we don't know. It could have been maybe a relative far away said, if Jesus of Nazareth ever comes up your way or down your way, be sure to look out for him. Maybe a colleague in the publican business in another region of Israel also said something to him or wrote to him. Or maybe it was just the general population all over the country was hearing of Jesus of Nazareth, and the Lord Jesus Christ has come down this way. And whenever Zacchaeus hears that the Lord is coming and passing through Jericho, he wants to seek him out to see who he was. He heard the name, but he had never met him. And mark that, he never met him. He wanted to see who he was. He wouldn't have recognized him. But there was a difficulty that stood in the way of this desire. Notice verse 3. He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. That word press means the crowd. He could not for the crowd. And here's the reason. Because he was little of stature. He was a small man, and he couldn't see over the shoulders between people standing together. Even on his tiptoes, he couldn't see. But he was determined to get to Jesus, as we'll see in a moment. I wonder tonight, am I speaking to somebody, and there is a desire in your heart and life, maybe a young person, to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ. You've heard something about him, but it may be garbled. You might have been mixing in religious circles, and there's not a clear presentation of who Christ is at all. But you know something about him. You know that he's a great person. You want to see who he is? Well, I'll tell you where you'll see who he is. He reveals himself in his word. That's where you'll get to know Christ. Now, the problem of this man was that the crowd was in his way. Could I ask you, in your desire to see the Lord Jesus, to know him better, your desire to find out more about the stranger of Galilee, the Savior of sinners, the Lord of glory, the Son of God, is there a crowd in your way? Is it a crowd that you're afraid of, that will mock you if you were to break from them and turn from them and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it a crowd that you run around with who are not sympathetic at all to church going, to Bible reading, to hearing the gospel, or to the Lord Jesus Christ himself and his glorious gospel? Is that crowd standing in your way? My dear friend, do not let it. Now, Zacchaeus might have said, well, what's the use? I've tried here. I've stopped what I was doing. I've heard of Jesus of Nazareth. He's coming by. I've tried, but I can't do anything about it. No, he did not have that attitude. He did do something about it. He was determined to see the Son of God. And so notice what happened in verse 4. He ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, to see the Lord Jesus, for he was to pass that way. What he's doing is, ladies and gentlemen and young people, he is putting himself in the way where Christ would be. What does that mean for us? You can be sure that in evangelistic services, the Lord Jesus Christ is where you can meet him. In services where God's people are meeting, the Bible says, the Lord Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. If you put yourself in those places, you'll be sure to come in contact with the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, as I've already said, is in His Word. He is the incarnate Word, and the written Word speaks of Him, the incarnate Word. And you can be sure to find Him there, here in the pages of sacred Holy Writ. But my point is, if you're interested, if you're determined, get to the place where you'll find the Lord. Attend the services. Get into Christian companionship. Read the Word of God. And show the same determination that this man showed. In fact, we read in Luke chapter 13 and verse 24 where the Savior says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. What a statement he's saying there. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, because many will strive to enter in thereat and not be able. That's a tremendous truth, and we need to take note of it. What he's saying is, make it your whole business to get right with God and be sure of heaven and to have your faith in the Lord Jesus. Give diligence to that particular matter, he's saying. So, that's the first part of this man's experience that will lead to his conversion. He had the desire, he encountered a difficulty, but he showed great determination. But now let's look at the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the second part that brings us to this conversion experience. Two things I want you to notice about him. First of all, his omniscience. That's a big word, but it's used in theological language. It's important in theological language. And it just means that the Lord knows everything. Nobody, no human is omniscient. Only God. The Father is. The Spirit is. And the Son is. Let me give you some instances just before we move from this. You remember in John's Gospel, Philip findeth Nathanael and said, we have found the one who's the Messiah out of Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip said, come and see. So whenever they were walking to where Jesus was, Jesus saw Nathanael coming and said, Nathanael. And Nathanael was amazed. He says, how do you know my name? He says, before Philip called you, went with you, met you, I saw you under the fig tree. Now, he must have been doing something special there, maybe reading about the Messiah. We can only surmise. We don't need to know. But there must have been something special, because that's whenever Nathanael said, thou art Christ, the King of Israel. The knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember whenever he was speaking to the woman of Samaria, he said, go and call your husband. She says, I don't have a husband. He says, I know. You've had five, and he that is with you now is not your husband. She was amazed at his knowledge. And you remember in the place in Jerusalem by the pool where a man had an affliction for 38 years and was lying there a long time. And the Bible says the Lord Jesus knew that that man had been there of a long time. Oh, that mighty knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And whenever he was dying on the cross and breathing his last almost, he said, I thirst. And he said it that the Scripture may be fulfilled. There was a scripture in one of the Psalms that he was referring to. And the Lord Jesus was in full possession of his senses and faculties and mind. Even though he was in agony and dying, he said that the scripture might be fulfilled. I thirst. What knowledge! And we're seeing something of it here. Now here's where it comes out clearly in this passage. He was going down that road. There's a crowd milling all around him. His disciples are there. Zacchaeus had difficulty seeing over the crowd. The crowd had kept him back from the Lord Jesus. Zacchaeus, to show his earnestness and determination, ran, knowing the route the Lord would take, climbed up into a sycamore tree. Think of the chief of publicans doing what might be called an undignified act like that. He didn't care. He had to get a vantage point where he would see the Lord. And there he is, perched up that tree. And the Savior's coming by. And he stops. And he looks up into the tree. And he says to Zacchaeus, and he calls him by his name. Now remember, Zacchaeus had never met him. Zacchaeus wanted to see who he was. And the Savior said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. The omniscience of Jesus. Let me say to us tonight, he knows just exactly where every one of us is. He knows where you are in your spiritual experience. He knows where you are in your spiritual pilgrimage. He knows how near you are to him, but not yet saved. And maybe you're perched up your tree of good works. Maybe you're perched up the tree of self-righteousness. Maybe you're perched up the tree of religion. But he knows where you are. And he's calling you by name. Not surprising. He created Zacchaeus. He has created you and me. And he knows us personally. Knows every member of our frame. He's calling you tonight. Calling you to himself. That's the first thing about Christ, his omniscience. Now the other word, it's likewise a word that's used often in theological terms, his omnipotence. And that means his great might, his almighty power. And I use this word advisedly for this reason. Notice again in Luke chapter 19 when he stood at the foot of the tree and addressed Zacchaeus. Notice what he says at the end of verse 5. Make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. That shows the omnipotence of Christ, the mighty power of Christ, that Zacchaeus would obey that command. He might have said, what liberties has he taken with me? He has spotted me in front of this crowd. He has singled me out in front of everybody, and he's calling my name. Who does he think he is? But he didn't take that attitude at all. He was marveling at the fact that this one whom he desired to see has now recognized him and known him. And remember, they never met before on earth. And something happened in Zacchaeus' life. He has received the effectual call of the Lord. And he's born again. He's saved as he obeys the voice of God and comes down from that tree. He came down promptly and he came down positively and he came down joyfully. What a conversion. So wherever you are tonight, my dear hearer, would you not obey the voice of the Lord Jesus? He's calling you tonight by name, and he's calling you to repent of your sin and to put your faith in him who has died on the cross, who has shed his atoning blood, who has offered his life as a sacrifice for sin. There's no other remedy for sin, no other means to have it dealt with, forgiven, or washed away, except through him and his precious blood that he shed. Would you not hearken to his voice and experience this wonderful conversion? What an encounter for Zacchaeus! And it can be a like wonderful encounter for you too. The circumstances that led to this encounter, the conversion that sprang from it, and then I want you to notice lastly the consequences that followed this encounter. Notice verse 9 of Luke chapter 19. Verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood. The Lord Jesus is in the house now. Seems perhaps that the Lord is moving on the next stage of his journey. And Zacchaeus is standing before him and he says, Lord, behold. This is the second behold in this section. First one concerned Zacchaeus, drawing our attention to Zacchaeus. And now Zacchaeus is drawing attention to himself. Listen to what he says to the Lord. He says, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Oh, that shows how compassionate he is. He's thinking of the poor. This man would have fleeced the poor up to now. But there's a change taking place. And what a change. He's showing compassion for them. But not only compassion, he's showing generosity. He says, Lord, the half of my goods I'll give to the poor. What a change. What has prompted the man to do that? Why, it's this conversion experience. Notice what else he says. He says, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Now, if he had said, Lord, if I've cheated on people, if I know I've taken far too much tax from them, I'll give them back what I took from them wrongfully. That would have been good to say that. But he says, Lord, I'm going to return it fourfold. And the Bible said, that's the principle of restitution. If you read the book of Exodus chapter 22 in the opening verses, you'll see if a man stole a sheep, he had to restore it fourfold. And whenever that traveler came to be entertained, and I made reference to it this morning, where the rich man, instead of taking anything out of his own flock, and he had a large flock, rather he went to the poor man and he took the one little ewe lamb. And when David heard of it, he says, that man has got to be put to death and restore fourfold the lamb that he took. Here now is Zacchaeus saying, Lord, I'm willing to do the right thing. That, my dear friend, is the evidence of the new birth. That is proof that this man had become a child of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ acknowledged that. Remember what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What a change in this man's life. That's the pledge of Zacchaeus. Evidence of the new birth. But notice the proclamation of Jesus. Notice verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. What a statement. The Lord Jesus is bearing testimony to the reality of the work of grace done in that man. For so much as he also is a son of Abraham, these critics were saying, this man's only a sinner. And speaking of that in a derogatory term. But the Lord says he's a son of Abraham. You're Jews. He's a Jew. But more than being a physical descendant of Abraham, he's a spiritual descendant of Abraham now, because he has trusted in the seed of Abraham, me. He has received me as a Savior. And then you have this tremendous utterance of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only assuring Zacchaeus that he's a Christian, not only standing up for him, but making this tremendous declaration in verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what I'm about, he was saying. That's why I have gone out to look for this man and to save his soul. That is my mission. That is my commission. To die on the cross for sinners. To make atonement for them. To put away their sin. This is one of them here. And if you will only take your place as a sinner, my ministry and mission is to you as well, he's saying. And that's true for us tonight. This is a glorious message. That the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. As we come to a close, let me just draw a great lesson from this story. And it is this. No one is too bad to be saved. No one can go beyond the reach of God's mercy because of the vileness of their sins. So there's hope for us tonight. And if you haven't turned from your sin, If you haven't put your trust in the Lord Jesus, then I would say to you now, come to him just as you are, without one plea, but that Christ's blood was shed for thee, and that he bids you come to him and just say, O Lamb of God, I come. And him that cometh to me, he says, I will in no wise cast out. Will you come? What a night it would be for you. What an encounter with Christ you would have if you'll obey him and come to him now.